Morning, everybody. The first four books of the New Testament, called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay? And there's a word called synoptic. Y'all ever heard that word? It's a big fancy. Everybody say synoptic. Yeah, it's a big fancy word. It means a summary. And so what those four books do, they summarize the ministry of Jesus, okay, from John the Baptist until the resurrection. And the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. Why? Because they tell all of the same stories in a different way. They come in at not all the same story written three times. They give their individual perspective on it. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And then John is just doing his own thing. He's just like, there's no parables. He's telling the stories. He's giving you truth. But those four stories together are how we know what happened with Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. Okay, y'all follow what I'm saying? And so this story that we're looking at today, man, everybody just take a deep breath. This is a hard story that we're about to look at. It's uncomfortable. So it deals with something that, man, everybody believes in heaven, most everybody. A lot of people believe in God. A lot of people don't believe in demons or in the devil. It's like, turns out in America, according to R.C. Sproul, all you have to do in America to get to heaven is die. Everybody yet that I've been to the funeral of, they're all going to heaven because, you know. We're going to dive into this story. So I want to pray before we dive in. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come in the authority that we have through Christ Jesus, and we ask you to just absolutely cover this room. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, be glorified and magnified in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 9, verse 37 through 42. So last week, Trey told us about the transfiguration where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Elijah and Moses appeared. Jesus was glorified. The Father spoke. Massive mountaintop experience. Here's what happens after mountaintop experiences. You ready? Let's go. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, Jesus. Just then, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he's my only child." A spirit seizes him. Suddenly he shrieks, and it throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth, severely bruising him. It scarcely ever leaves him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." Jesus replied, "You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." As the boy was still approaching, the demon knocked him down and threw him into severe convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all astonished at the greatness of God. Verse 37, we're just going to walk down through this. The next day, after they came off the mountain, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. So mountaintop experiences. A couple of weeks ago, I took 3 days. Well, it was going to be 3 days, two and a half days. And I went to Pickwick. A friend of mine has a house out there. And I just stayed there. And I did nothing but listen to Scripture on streetlights, which Trey turned me on to. It's got a beat behind it. I love it. I listened to the Word of God. I listened to most of the New Testament on this retreat. I prayed. I fished. I didn't catch any. I caught three fish. It was horrific, the fishing. But the time, if you could have been near my boat, you would have heard me worshiping God in the boat. I was like, let's go. And I was just like, it was truly a mountaintop experience. I was just like with the Lord, experiencing God. At the end of that experience, when I was about to come home, accusing thoughts started hitting me in the head over and over. My past just come flooding. And I mean, I'm reading the word, I'm listening, and all of a sudden, man, my pastor is like, hey, you did this, big boy. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. I know what this is. This is the enemy trying to rip me off from this 2.5 days that I just had with the Lord. And so I began to fight that with the scripture and fight that with prayer. I was like, Lord, this is yours. And so on the way home, I'm fighting it with scripture and with prayer. So when you have a mountaintop experience, an amazing retreat or a camp or something like the marriage deal that we went through this past weekend, which was awesome. If we do that again, don't miss it. It truly is helpful. After a mountaintop experience, you got to come off the mountain. And there's two ways to come off the mountain. And I have been doing youth camps for 40 years, and I can tell you this from experience. You either come off the mountain, you fall backwards down off the mountain and land on your head. You're just like, what just happened? Or you come down the mountain and you land on your knees and you pray, God, protect what you did at that camp. Protect what you did in my life there. Write it down. Journal it. When you come off the mountain, just be aware the valley is coming. Okay, verse 38. Just then, okay, Jesus and then the three come back. The nine are down there. He left nine disciples behind, okay? The three, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus come down from the mountain. Just then, a man from the crowd cried out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son because he's my only child. A spirit seizes him. Suddenly he shrieks and it throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth, severely bruising him. It scarcely ever leaves him. This man is desperate over his child, his only child. You ever been there? You ever have something happen with one of your children that you were just unable to deal with? You're unable to control? It just happens. If you got kids, you probably have been there. What does this man ask Jesus to do? He says, look, just look at my child. That's what we want the Lord to do. We want him to see what's happening. He sees it. He wants us to ask him. This man did exactly what he was supposed to do. He brought his son to Jesus. Like, oh, Jesus, I can't fix this. And we know that this is not like a little kid. Okay, because in one of the other Gospels, and you read all, I want to encourage you to read the other Gospels. When we go through these stories, read the other Gospels to get the full, oh, there's from that angle. Because the man told Jesus, this has been since from his childhood. So this is either a teenager or a young adult, and we don't know how old he is, but we know that his dad has been taking care of him. He's desperate. Can you imagine how this would be to see your child tormented day and night and you couldn't stop it? The devil, give me your face, please. The devil hates every son of Adam. He hates you. And when you toy around in his world, you are messing with stuff that you don't even know. John 10:10. You need to underline this verse in your Bible. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil's agenda is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. That's his agenda. So we're not to fear him, and we're not to fear his demons. Did you know that? You are not supposed to be afraid of the devil and demons, even when you see it manifest. And if you've ever been in the presence of someone who is possessed by a demon, it can get a little sporty. And you tend to get a little nervous, and maybe even fear wants to creep up. In Matthew's gospel, he says there's only one that you're to fear. And that's God, the one who has the power over everything in the entire universe. That's the one to fear. So we're not to fear the devil or demons, but we better know that he is real and they are real. And we better learn how to do battle with them. If you've never spent time in Ephesians 6, spend time in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. There's a pretty good battle plan in there. All over the scripture shows us how. And this is a picture of how to do battle. So the dad did the first thing you're supposed to do. He cried out to Jesus. When you're under spiritual attack, I'm sorry, K-Love ain't going to get it done. Your devotional ain't going to get it done. It is you cry out in faith through prayer to the living God, who is the one that can deliver you from whatever it is that you're facing. So that's what the dad does. First thing he does, he brings his son to Jesus. You know, I thought about this guy. I thought about this dad. I wonder if he'd ever prayed for his son. I bet he had. But here's his moment when Jesus is in town, and here it is. See, we cry out to Jesus in impossible situations, regardless of what they are. Spiritual attack, physical stuff that happens, cancer, car wrecks, all kinds of stuff. A pastor in this area and his wife died on Church Road. It's just tragic. What do? We cry out to Jesus. That's what we do. We cry out to Jesus. We take anything and everything to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Dads and moms, pray together over your children every single day. Together. Had something happen with one of my sons. I have six kids. We raised four boys and took a girl and a boy in. But one of my sons, actually two of my sons, one of my sons, when he was a little kid, had a witch in our church in Andrews, Texas. Did she have like a hat, a pointy hat and a broom? No. Looked just like everybody else. Was reading palms in the church of people's hands, just reading their hands, hanging out. And a spiritual punch in the face toward one of my children. And the first thing that happens with our kids, that tightness of your throat, you know what I'm talking about? And then you're just like, Lord Jesus. And then we just begin to cry out to God and begin to praise and begin to pray. And I got my pastor over there. I was the youth pastor at that time. My pastor and another pastor, we came in our house and we prayed, and God's peace fell like a blanket on my house. That's the only way I can describe it. It was like a blanket, just covering and complete peace. But when you come face to face with that stuff, it's not a time to run and hide, dads. Dads in the room, raise your hand. Gentlemen, we got to lead our families. We got to. Nobody else is going to do it. Well, your wife will do it. But you're the man. I got no condemnation for anybody. I'm telling you, we're the man. Okay? That's just how it is. So, like this dad, we take everything to the Lord. Get your wife, pray. So that situation, I told you, my wife and I started praying together every day for our children. Now we got 13 grandkids. It takes a little longer. We pray for all of them. Can you imagine what this family had gone through? Look at verse 39. Look what this demon was doing to them, doing to this boy. Verse 39, seizes him. What does that look like? Suddenly he shrieks, just sitting at the dinner table. All of a sudden, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. 2 o'clock in the morning, he's screaming at the top of his lungs. Everybody in the house knows what's happening. He's been doing it for years. It throws him into convulsions. He foams at the mouth, severely bruising him. Don't get this picture of, oh, tap. How many of you have ever been thrown to the ground? Trey, you get thrown to the ground in your days? Yeah. A little bruise. No. When you are thrown to the ground, you're getting hurt. You're going to bleed. You're going to hit your head. You're going to feel it in your bones. Throws him to the ground. Here's a bad one. Scarcely ever leaves him. Fear of its return. When's that sucker coming back in my house? All is calm. And then a storm. Sleeplessness. Is going to happen tonight? Not tonight. Maybe we'll go to sleep tonight. Oh, no, here it comes. Every day for years. from Matthew 17, same story, more insight into what was happening in this house, in this man's house. Matthew 17, 15, the boy suffers terribly. What's that look like? Is that a high fever? Is that physical pain? Who knows? Here's a tough one. He often falls into the fire and into the water. His dad was having to keep a constant vigil over his son just to keep him alive. How many doctor visits? How much comfort when this thing was finished trying to kill him? What are we going to do? Stressful, exhausting. Mark 9, 17, even more. It throws him down, makes the boy deaf and unable to speak. Son, what's wrong? No answer. Can't speak, can't even hear dad yelling that. Makes him grind his teeth. Ooh. Makes him become rigid. This would be horrific to see this happen over and over to your child for years, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. Verse 40. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. I try to picture this part of the story. It's not written what happened. This was probably not real pretty. It's like we took him to the preacher and the preacher couldn't help. 9 guys. The demon told those 9 guys, not leaving today. Get out of my face. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what it looked like. We just know that he said, no, I'm not leaving. What a sick feeling when people look to you for help because they know you know Jesus and you can't help them. Those 9 disciples were probably hating it when that guy was standing there telling Jesus, your boy's over here. I thought you were the guy. Your boy's over here. I brought my son to him. They couldn't deal with it. And they're probably there, Jesus, it wasn't as bad as he. Well, maybe, yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, we failed. The 9. You know, Jesus had already given them authority over demons. Look at 9:1. Look back at Luke 9:1. There it is right there. He gave them authority over what? What's your Bible say? To drive them out. They had the goods to drive them out. They had the authority to drive that demon out of that boy. They couldn't do it. They lacked 2 things. And we know this from the other Gospels. They lacked faith that God could do this, and they lacked prayer. They forgot to pray. How do we know this? Mark 9, 29. And he, Jesus, told them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Boys, you forgot to pray. You forgot your source. Verse 41, back in Luke 9, 41, Jesus replied, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. Now, all week I have contemplated, who was he talking to? You know who he was talking to? Duke, who was he talking to? Okay. No, I get what you're saying. You know what? That when I read it, I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, is this who he's talking to? Is he talking to that dad? He wasn't talking to the dad. He was talking to his disciples. You remember, he spoke very plainly to his disciples. He called Peter Satan one time. You remember that? He says, and a perverse, an unbelieving and perverse generation is how God referred to Israel a lot of times in the Old Testament. But right here, he's talking to his disciples. He's like, guys, how long have I been with you? Matthew 17, 19 through 20, same story after Jesus had cast the demon out. Verse 19, then the disciples approached Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive it out? They couldn't figure this out. Jesus answered, because of your little faith. He told them, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed." About right there. "You will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Underline this verse in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." When you're praying over something in your life or in the lives of those around you, do you believe God can do something about it? Like literally, can He change this? Can He do something? "You don't even understand, John, how bad this is. And if I pray, you're telling me that God can do something in my situation?" Yes. This is faith. It says, "I believe you, Lord, you can deal with this." Now listen, I want you to get this real close here. Your faith is not commanding God to do anything. And if you've been taught that, you've been taught a lie. Because you don't command God to do anything. He's God. He sits on His throne and He does as He pleases. And if you think that you're going to saddle up next to Him and inform Him on some stuff that He does not understand, that's not the God of the Bible. It's in your imagination. You don't command God to do anything. Your faith is believing He will do it, and you ask in faith, believing that He will act. That's what we do. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." We are scared to death of these verses as Baptists. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking it. Our charismatic brothers and sisters are not afraid of that verse. Now, I'll tell you, some of them go over the top and over the edge. But I'm telling you, if I've got somebody in my family that's got something going on and I need prayer, you know what I'm going to say. You have to say it. I want somebody who believes God's going to act. Not, "Well, Lord, we're going to bring this to you. If it's your will." I think when Baptists say, "If it's your will," they mean, "Lord, you're not really going to do this, but if indeed you did it, we'd give you the praise." Prayers, a lot of time, that's the last thing we do, because we do not believe it works. We believe, "Oh, I've tried everything else, now I'm going to pray." Nope, pray first. Verse 43 or 42, "As the boy was still approaching, the demon knocked him down and threw him into severe convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father." See, this demon made one more attempt on his life before leaving, but Jesus had a different plan. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking on this, about this, about how Jesus cast this demon out. So if you know the stories, like I think Mark 5 is where when the demon saw Jesus, the man that was in the cave, when the demon saw Jesus, Jesus was already talking to that demon, because that demon recognized him from afar. When that boat landed, that demon started saying, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus was telling him in that, "You come out of him right now. You come out of him." It's a different situation here. And I don't know if this was a more powerful demon that had a hold of this boy, or if just the way that Jesus chose to do it this time. Regardless, this thing threw the boy down one more time. Tried to kill him. Jesus had a different plan. This is the same story from Mark 9. Listen to this. This is Mark's gospel account of this. Now listen to the details in this. Jesus said, "Bring him to me." So they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. "How long has it been happening to him?" Jesus asked his father. From childhood, he said. And many times it has thrown him into the fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything. Jesus said to him, if you can. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Then it came out, shrieking and throwing him into terrible convulsions. The boy became like a corpse, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him, and he stood up. I do believe, help my unbelief. Anybody but me ever been there? You're like, Lord Jesus, oh, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because Jesus acted on this little mustard-sized, seed-sized faith. He acted on it. This dad was weak. But he's like, I came to you, Jesus. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, gave him back to his dad. He dealt with his spiritual problem first, casting out the demon. Then his physical problem. No doubt the boy had suffered injuries from the demon, so Jesus healed him. And third, he dealt with him relationally, gave him back to his dad. And it didn't talk about his mom or his brothers or sisters, but peace came in that house for the first time in years. What a picture of restoration. House of peace. All this done for a man who said to the Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Mustard seed faith in action. Side note, not everybody who has seizures and foams at the mouth has a demon. But coming close, I want to tell you something. In the U.S., we dismiss spiritual activity and attribute it to medical condition. And we miss a lot of times when someone invites demonic activity into their life and that starts manifesting in physical and you think that that's medical, you are missing it. That mess is real. And when you play with it, it's going to burn you. It will set your house on fire. Oh, you know, we just did this. Had a young man who had a friend teach him how to manifest and invite a demon to take over. Guess what happened? It did it. Well, we need to get him some medicine. No, you don't. You need to bring him to Jesus. The boy's situation was not medical. It was a spiritual assault, and Jesus was the only answer to his condition. This demon had to be expelled by the one stronger than him. Jesus is the true strong man who binds the strong man, who is the devil, and kicks him out of the house. So that's what Jesus did. He just kicked the strong man out of the house. We're in the middle of an unseen war for people's souls. When it rears its head and we see it, it calls for us to believe God is bigger, and we pray in faith, believing that he will take care of the situation. Last verse, verse 43, and they were all astonished at the greatness of God. God was glorified up on the mountain that day before, whenever he was transfigured in front of those three men. He was glorified on the mountain. Learned this from R.C. Sproul. And he was glorified in the valley when he cast this demon out of this boy. He was glorified. Jesus was glorified whenever everything was amazing. And then when everything was in turmoil and disarray, Jesus came in and his glory was revealed right there. He's with you on your mountaintop experience, and he's with you in your valley experience. How many times have you been in a situation where you believe the Lord could do something, but it looked like there was no way? This looks impossible. Lord, I believe you. Help my unbelief. Consider this dad who said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. The Lord still acts when we call out to him with just a little bit of faith. This dad knew he had to get his son to Jesus. That's exactly what we have to do with our situation. We have to bring it before the Lord. Your family needs to bring it before the Lord. Mom, dad, bring it before the Lord. This is why we tell people about Jesus. They're just as helpless as this boy. This boy's dad was trying to save his life. The boy was helpless. When we meet people without Christ, Ephesians 2 says they're dead in their trespasses and sin. They're helpless. They're open to this stuff. It's like we come along with the message of the gospel of Jesus, and that's what sets them free. It's Jesus who does it. What's your situation today? Is your faith weak today? Have you been crying out about something and it's not happening? Got a situation my wife and I have been asking God about for about 12 years. Ain't stopping. Gonna keep on praying. Are you by faith praying and asking God to do the impossible? Today would be a great day to start doing that. I was talking to a young man yesterday who's trying to quit smoking the devil's cabbage. Marijuana. Anyways. It's a stronghold. Trying to quit sleeping with his girlfriend. He called me last night. Start this journey out of all that. He said, it is. I said, I know this is hard for you. He said, oh. I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to tell my 64 ladies who pray. He said, okay. So I text him. I didn't use his name. So I know that 64 ladies were praying for this young man and his girlfriend. And I thought, Lord, that's how we go to any situation, by prayer. If you're stuck, start bringing it before the Lord, okay? Going to do something really different today in the invitation. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here in just a little bit. If you're in a situation that you've been like, God, we need you to act. I want you to stand up right now just saying, I want to ask in faith, believing that God will deliver us out of this situation. We ain't got no music going yet. But if that's you, just stand up. Like, literally, if that's you. If you don't stand up if it's not you. But if you got something, stand up. I'm not going to make you say it out loud. Pray over this. Just lay this before the Lord. You do it right now. Just lay it before him. Lord, we bring our impossible and we lay it at your feet. If you can, we know you can. And so, Lord, we just lay this at your feet. All of this collectively that we're standing about right now. And God, we're asking you in Jesus' name to show yourself mighty on our behalf. Please help us, Lord. We ask you to break the stronghold. We ask you to break any addiction. We ask you to break it in the name of Jesus and the power of the blood of Christ. We ask you to overcome it. We ask you, Jesus, the mighty warrior, the true strong man, to bind the strong man and to bring peace in the house. We ask you to unite moms and dads in prayer together from this day forward. Steal their fear of praying in front of each other. Give them courage to take that step of yes and to begin to pray and to begin to ask you to enter the situation. Please do this in Jesus' name. Pray that your word would become familiar in our houses. Lord, teach us how to fight. Help us to fight. Forgive us of unbelief and prayerlessness. Help us, Lord, to bring our situation to you. We are grateful for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.